saying in the morning will go a long way to complement what we are going to say right now, so that we can get it right. Can get it right. So, I didn't know my brother can beat the drum, and I didn't know. So, God is with us. Yeah, God is with us. He's building His church, and the gate of hell can never and shall never prevail over it. Amen. All right. Let's go quickly to Ephesians chapter 10 to 18. Ephesians. Can you, is there any way you can put it here? If you can. Huh? Somebody. All right. All right, let me go. Praise the Lord. Yeah, this morning I'm talking about the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. And what we are reading is on Ephesians chapter 6, starting from 10 to 18. Praise the Lord. But before I read it, there's something I was asking God, and I'm going to share it. I'm going to read it to you so that God will help us. We open our eyes of understanding so that God can guide us through His words, because we know that His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. Amen? And He said in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17, He said, "For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that He may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of Him. By having the eyes of our heart flooded with light," today our heart is going to be flooded with light. Today He has already opened our eyes of understanding, so that whatever that is coming, whatever that He's using me to say this morning, can be well grafted in your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. So, my brother over there, can you try to see if he can come up here, okay? All right. And he says, "In conclusion, my brothers and sisters, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union." When I'm reading it, you'll be paying attention, marking some key words. "You'll be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him. That strength which His boundless might provides." Go ahead. To 18. "Put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy armed soldier, which God supplies, that you may be able successfully to stand up against all the strategies and deceits of the devil." Go ahead. "For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere." Praise the Lord. That's starting. Go ahead. That's it? Okay. If you can get it, okay. Therefore, put on God's complete armor, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger, and having done all the crisis demands, to stand firmly in your place. Stand therefore, hold your ground, hold your ground, hold your ground, hold your ground. Don't drift away. He said, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around their loins, and having put on the breastplate of integrity and of moral rectitude, and right standing with God. That's right. Right standing with God is righteousness, right? Go ahead. And having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. Praise the Lord. Lift up over all the covering, shade of your saving faith, upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked. Go ahead. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the word of God. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose of perseverance. Watch with strong patience of perseverance. Watch with strong patience of perseverance in interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, let this word of yours go deep into the mind of your people. Even as I stand here, O God, Lord, use me as a vessel to proclaim this word, so that my brothers and sisters will also proclaim this word to other people, and your name will be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Please, you gotta hold the time. I don't want you to run fast. All right. You see what we are talking? If you watch what I was saying in the morning, you find out that when we are talking about the gospel, about the message, that people has to be into it, so that they can get what we are saying. They can be rooted, grounded, and established in the word. You find out that the Ephesians is collaborating what the book of Romans and Galatians and all these books are saying. Because when you go to the book of Romans, which pastor has been doing a series of this, you find out that he's talking about your righteousness, your salvation, your the truth and stuff like that. You see, now in Ephesians describe the armor of God as what you have been experiencing in the book of Romans and this. He said, what is the armor of God? Let me ask this question. What is the armor of God? The word of God? Yes. Eh? And Jesus is not the armor. Eh? Okay, it's listed here. That's why I say pay attention. He was telling you about your salvation. He was talking about your faith. He was talking about your righteousness. He was talking about the truth. He was talking about the word of God. And they finally say, pray all times. So these six key things is what God has done in you, done for you through Jesus Christ. And that is the armor of God. And God is telling you, you have it, but you are not putting it always. He said, because if you are putting it always, he said, that armor that is in you. But he said, put on the armor of God. Meaning that you got to wear this all the time for you to succeed. You got to stand on it. You got to depend on it so that the thing will begin to work for you. Praise the name of the Lord. So simply said, the armor of God is your salvation that you have got. Right? The armor of God is the truth. The armor of God is your faith. The armor of God is the word of God, the gospel, the armor of God. So all these things, God in every situation, because he said, you war not against principalities and powers, but spiritual wickedness is in high places. This is your warning. And God knows that you a man has not developed the capacity, has not gotten the power to fight the enemy. And why he is saying that, you put on the armor of God always, and having done that to stand, you stand firm. Why he is saying that? Because if you have shifted from any of these things that God has provided for you, you are not going to get it. Praise the Lord. So, I'm going to explain it one by one. And I'm going to tell you how you can lose out if you are not holding firm to the salvation that God has given you. If you are not holding firm to the grace of the grace that God has given you, to the righteousness God has given you, to the truth, if you are not holding on to it, you can't win in a spiritual battle. Because people think that spiritual battle is when you go out and say, pray, cast him out, cast him in the oven, cast him in the darkest pit. And people will begin to, I throw you into abyss, I cast you into this, I cast you. No. You cast them tomorrow, they are coming. Right? Tomorrow they are coming. And you go and say, pray. And they pray tomorrow, they are coming. You are not running. You are not succeeding. Right? You are not going through the instruction. The instruction is that you got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The exceeding power, exceeding greatness of God's power can never be compared to anything. God itself exists. God is self-existent. Now, and he has the power. That this power, that no power can match the power of God. The power of God is there. And when he begins to mention this, you find out that God knows what he's saying. Praise the name of the Lord. He knows what he's saying. If you go through all these things, my brother, my sister, that war, spiritual warfare you are fighting, it's as simple as ABC. As simple as ABC. When you put on the whole armor of God. You know, he was describing it as a country that has an armory here and there, and when a soldier is going to war, he will be equipped. You gotta put your belt, right? To put your torch, your gun, and everything, the bullets. You gotta protect your wearing the bulletproof so that they cannot, if they shoot, they can't touch you. You gotta put a helmet so that they cannot destroy your organs. So that God is comparing it to a soldier that is prepared to go to war. When you are fighting an enemy, you are going into a war with an enemy. And if you lose out in any of this armor, you're not going to win the battle. Tell me which one, if you lose it, you win. If you don't have faith going to battle, can you succeed? Right? If you don't have the truth and you go to battle, can you succeed? The enemy will mess you up. If you are not sure of your salvation, will you succeed? If you don't know who you are, will you succeed? Do you remember the seven sons of Sceva? Right? Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? Who are you? You have to know who you are and know what is written. As he comes out, he says, it is written. As he comes up, he says, it is written. That's the only way you can carry the fight to him and defeat him. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. The full armor of God, therefore, are your righteousness. Praise the Lord. Your righteousness. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The faith, salvation, and the word of God and prayer. The armor of God are tools. They are equipped. What God used can equip you with. your tools to fight the battle. To fight the battle. You can't fight that battle without you having any of these things. You're wasting your time. You're marking time. Left, right, left, right, left. You're marking time. You have to put it on. Always. Having put it on, stand firm on it. Immovable. Nobody can check you. You believe in what you believe. And that's the truth. And that's your faith. And that's it. You are claiming your salvation. Praise the Lord. So when you hold them on, you say, bring it on. And you have the sword of the Spirit. You will follow him. Oh yeah, talk to me. What you got? Talk to me. Praise the Lord. You have the sword of the Spirit. As a soldier that is going to fight, when he dresses up, he has something that we protect him. The vest that will protect him, the helmet that will protect him, but he has a sword to take it on. So we find out that the armor of God isn't. This armor of God can be offensive weapons of warfare, and they can be defensive weapons of warfare. Praise the Lord. You see your head? The helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. Why did God use helmet to talk about salvation? You see, the head is the seat of the mind. You see? When you are driving a motorcycle, you put helmet so that when you fall, it's not going to crack your brain. It's not going to destroy your brain. So you put it there to hold it, to cover it. So that when they bring it on, you say, I know in whom I believe. I know who I am. I know my Redeemer liveth. That is, it's a conviction. A conviction that this is absolutely true. It's a conviction that nobody can talk me out of this stuff. Nobody can talk me out of it. Praise the Lord. So, I'm going to take them one by one. You see, the armor of God equips us and also protects us. We are to speak the truth against Satan because you know he is a father of a deception, father of all lies. He comes to tell you what you don't want to hear. He can say, Christy, you said you are a child of God. Why are you there? Why are you doing like this? A child of God. It changes your perception and your thinking, right? Oh, you are a child of God. Why did you do this? Oh, you say you are saved. How can you come and... I said, it's true. I don't know, right? That is the subtlety of the enemy, how he can change you, how he can distort it, how he can divert, mess you up. He is not capable of changing God's word. He doesn't have the ability to change what is written, but he has the ability to confuse you, to change your mind, to make you begin to think otherwise, to make you to think that you are not qualified, to make you to think that you are unworthy, to make you to think that you are not saved, make you to think that you are not righteous, to begin to put lies into you so that you cannot function. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no of turning with you. Thou changest not, thy compassion defend not, as thou hast been thou forever. Will be. Hallelujah. God cannot change. Whatever thing he says is like that. Eh? God says it, that settles it. He said you are a child of God, you are a child of God. He said you've been delivered, you are delivered. Let nobody come and talk rubbish to you. Are you qualified? God has qualified me. Are you qualified? God has qualified me. It's not by power, it's not by might, by the Spirit of the living God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest. Some moon and stars in their courses above. Joy with all nations in manifold witness. To that great faithfulness, mercy and love. Is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning, new mercies I see. Oh, that I need provided. God has made everything to move in their courses above. He remained what he is. Praise the Lord. When we are singing this, I don't think you are thinking about it and checking it, right? Okay. We are to rest in the fact that we are declared righteous. We are declared righteous. If you don't have that conviction in you, it will be practically impossible for you to produce. Okay, let me try it out. How many people are righteous here? Those who are not raising their hand, why? You are not convinced you are righteous? God has made you righteous. He redeemed you with his blood. He changed your legal standing. He changed your legal standing. Legal standing is not based on qualification of you, qualification by you, but God qualifying you. Praise the Lord. God has qualified you to be in the right standing. When you talk about righteousness of God, it's virtually synonymous with God's justice. God is not a respecter of anybody. He said, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. It didn't appear to only it didn't appear to God. It appeared to all men. So God, that's righteousness of God is talking about the justice of God. God deemed it good that I want to forgive this one. I want them to be in the right stand with me. But they are here struggling. I want to please God. I want to make God to do this. It doesn't work like that. You got to key in to the righteousness of God for everything you are doing. And it's a problem. Because a lot of churches are preaching Judaism and Christianity. They are preaching Judaism and Christianity, mixing it up. They don't know the difference. So when they come to me, I say, please, go and read the Old Testament and go and read the New Testament. You might see the difference. If you can't understand the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament, you will be confused. You will see, you will think that what God says in Old Testament, why is he saying this again? God is not an author of confusion. Praise the Lord. We are to proclaim the gospel no matter the resistance. We are proclaiming the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to draw souls to Christ. Right? To draw souls to Christ. You are not putting it in your kitchen. I'm preaching the gospel. I'm an evangelist. You are doing this, teaching people, committing it to other people so that they can go out there to bring people to God. After all, God has reconciled you. Say, God was in Christ reconciling you, not putting your iniquity. So now I'm sending you out to go and reconcile other people. Bring other people to me. And you say, you have issue with God. You got to go and settle issue with God. Do you have issue with God? No. If you have issue with God, Christ cannot die for you. When you are a sinner, he died for you. He said, if he can, because of you, bruise his son, or his son was bruised, how can he not with him freely give you all things? How can he not freely? By that time, he gave his son, you're already where you are. And he said, why you are a sinner, Christ died for you. He didn't die for you when you become a righteous man. People are thinking righteousness is in terms of goodness or attitude. No. And we're going to talk about it today. Praise the Lord. So, we are to speak the truth against Satan's lie. I've said this before. We are to proclaim the gospel no matter the resistance. The gospel is facing a lot of resistance. People mixing it up. That's what I was saying in the morning. Mixing it up. Impostors, acclaimed teachers, people who think they know, they want to dislocate the whole thing, the whole process. But they cannot touch what God has written. But they can touch your mind. If you are not grounded, if you are not rooted, if you are not established in the word of God, praise the Lord. We are not to waver in our faith, in fighting spiritual warfare. Don't waver. If you waver, you cannot. If you waver, say James, the book of James says, let that man not think he can receive it when you waver, because already you have put down. And the enemy makes you, brings doubt into your mind. He begins to talk to you and he begins to doubt if this thing is true. If this thing is true, your mind begins to change. You will be unshakable. You always try to be immovable. Stand on the truth. Because he knows that the moment you stand on the truth, you know the truth will set you free. He doesn't want you. He doesn't want you. You speak all lies, all father of deception. And that's why Jesus was telling them that you don't believe this because you are speaking of what your father. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Our ultimate defense is our salvation. Our ultimate defense is our salvation. Do you agree with me? But you know, people had to hear this. Talk of salvation. They talk of grace of God that bringeth salvation that has appeared to all men. They say, no. What is this grace you are preaching? Grace is making people to sin. Grace is making people to sin. I said, show me in the Bible where God has said that grace of God makes people to sin. And I will show you in the Bible where God said that the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Anybody who believes it, you receive it. And I will show you again that grace of God will help you to deny ungodliness. Praise the Lord. And I will tell you again where he said that the grace of God will make you to be in right standing with God without Christ possessing it, redeeming you, justifying you. You cannot get all this. You are condemned to die by the deed of the law. You are condemned to die. And the Bible said that Christ, Moses brought us the law, and they call the law of condemnation, that Christ brought us truth and grace. And you come back to say, oh, this thing that God has given you, why did he defend his son? Why did he kill his son? If you know you can attend it, if you know you can attend the right standing with God, why did he use his son? Huh? Why did he use him? He can allow you to be wallowing in your thinking and your ignorance. But he used his son. He said, one oblation. And I deserve no more sacrifice. But mercy. Mercy for you. Mercy for you. Sing with me. Pardon for sin. A peace that endureth. He pardoned your sin and gave you peace that endureth. Praise the Lord. Oh, that the presence and to guide strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings at mine and 10,000 beside. Hey, whoa, great is the faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning. Oh, that I need, that I have provided. In thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. It's a pardon for mercy. He gave you peace that endureth. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings are yours. Why don't you claim it? Say, blessings of God are mine. Blessings of God are mine. I claim it in Jesus' name. And that's when it will begin to work for you. Because those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. If you don't receive it, if you don't accept it, you cannot reign. You cannot reign. Did I put it? It's God put it. And God is saying that people are not reigning because they don't want to submit to the way I make people right. They go about to establish their own righteousness. They go about establishing their righteousness. But you know that your righteousness in the face of God is a fitting right. You cannot produce. If you don't accept it, if you don't claim it, if you don't work on it, you cannot cue in. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah! 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 I talk about the defensive weapons of warfare. We always read in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, right? That the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the stronghold. What is that stronghold? That stronghold is what is describing. The spiritual wickedness in high places. All those things you are facing, you think you can just put them in the pit, you shame them there. It's not the time for them to be shamed, let me tell you. They said that you are casting away a binding. God specified the time they will be chained and put into the bottomless pit. This one you are doing might not solve any problem because tomorrow you will cast out more demons and they will be coming and you'll be casting them out. But God is telling you to believe on this simple thing. When He comes to you, you depend on His, you will be strong in the Lord and you will depend on the power of His might. And you will put on all the armors of God. You put on your helmets of salvation. You put on the belt of righteousness. You shod your feet because you are stepping into a trap. You are stepping somewhere. You want to make a move, and you use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, to speak to Him. Hallelujah! Use the sword of the Spirit and speak to Him. I rebuke you. Get behind me. Praise the Lord. You rebuke him. And he knows that you know more than him. Praise the Lord. Can we see Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 11. We read this place and I want you to pay attention. There's a lot more coming. I want you to pay attention. Read it. And I'm going to ask you a question because pastors are not here. So I'm going to ask you a question and you're going to answer it. If you fail this morning, I'm going to mark it bad. That's one old man in that place. He's an illiterate. So when you say, Doc, not you. He said, Doc, you are very, very good. You will mark bad. You don't know the difference between good and bad. Praise the Lord. Alright, can you get it? He said, then Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit in the wilderness, desert, to be tempted, tested, and tried by the devil. Go ahead. And he went without food for 40 days and 40 nights. And later, he was hungry. He went 40 days and 40 nights without food. And he was hungry. You see, this is what some pastors are using. They fast for 100 days. They fast for 40 days. You will ask them, why? They will say, Jesus fasted for 40 days. It's a special ability. You say, he was full of the Holy Spirit. You are going empty-handed. Eh? You want them to ask you as seven sons of Sceva? Eh? You want to do 40 days, you want to do 70 days, you want to do 100 days, and you are bragging about it without putting the armor of the whole armor of God. Eh? You are going for 70 days, you don't even have faith. And you know without faith it is impossible to please God. Anything that is not of faith is what? Sin. And the just shall live by faith. The just is not living by your 40 days or 100 days. The church is getting the instruction. You go to my brother Doc or Dr. Happiness too, the wife. You go to them and they give you prescription. And you come out, you just put it in your pocket. You want to fight a headache. You want to fight him. Will the headache continue or not? One, you don't have faith to depend on God. Like yesterday, if I perish, I perish. You don't have it. And you don't follow the prescription. And you say that your whatever is going to go. Will it go? You miss it out. You miss it out. You got to follow the instruction. So if you like, go 100 days. The next day, somebody was asking me in Lagos. He said, oh, we are coming out from 100 days of fasting. I said, it's okay. I said, okay. Does anything change? Does anything change? Nothing change. They come with all cunning craftiness to deceive, with all deceiveness of heart. They won't put your eyes to the scripture to know what he said. The key thing here is the armor of God. That is what the Bible is talking in Romans, in Galatians, in all this, is what it's talking about. The book of Romans talks about your salvation, your righteousness, the truth. Praise the Lord. That's what it talks about. When you have them, nobody can, you become unshakable. If you don't have it, you're on your own. Let me finish what I'm reading because I have a lot. Put it back again. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 11. Put it back again, please. Give me verse 12. Verse 12. Okay. Well, verse 2, sir. Sorry. Give me verse 2. And he went without food for 40 days and 40 nights, and later he was hungry. Go ahead. Quick. Because my time is limited. And listen. And the tempter came to him and said, if you are God's son, command these stones to be made loaves of bread. Hey, I will do acrobatic. You don't know who I am? I'm Bishop Doctor. I have the anointing is with me. Haba hacha kaposkopo rakasa. Hey, the anointing is with me. Huh? Magwanyi na agwa. Come on, bring more stone. Bring more stone. You don't know who you are. Who the hell is him to ask Jesus if you are the Son of God? Huh? Who the hell is it to put that to try Jesus and say if you are the Son of God? Why God has pronounced him, this is my well beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You think you have something? You don't have anything, no. If the Satan can come and try Jesus, you think you are Jinjim. He comes here, he corners you, and you begin to say things differently. I'm telling you the fact. Yeah. Watch him. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Eh? And when you fast for 40 days and 100 days, is that time that the enemy will come to try you again? Eh? Is that thing that the enemy will come to try you again? Even with small thing. With small thing. you just fall. You'll be begging for people to come and get you up. Eh? Yeah. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. After 40 days of fasting with the Holy Spirit of God in the supernatural strength. comes out, yeah, the enemy can, I said before that the enemy cannot change what is written. But he can try to change your mind. Then you change your perception, change your view, change your character, change how you take the whole thing. And Jesus said, go ahead. It is written. Put it back. But he replied, it has been written. That is his weapon. Because that he knows that the word of God cannot return back void without completion what he sent him. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. One. That is a one willing, right? One willing. Because the enemy doesn't even want the enemy to testify about him. He has no business with you to come and tell you who you are. Huh? To come and tell Mama, you say, this church, you say you're a child of God. Yeah. I'm a child of God. What's wrong with it? God is in me. I'm in Christ and Christ is in God. Right? I'm a child of God. He has delivered me. He has redeemed me with his blood. He has purchased me. He has changed my legal standing. He has made me a child of God. Praise the Lord. He will know that, oh, you can't mess with this person. You can't go. And he will be begging you. All right, go ahead. Don't get it off. Go and get it off. Don't get it off. Put it. Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on a turret, pinnacle, gavel of the temple sanctuary. Look at him. God has created the whole thing. He said, in him, there is nothing that was made that was made. So the Christ made everything. And you come to him again. Hey, brother, come on. Yeah. I will give you what you made. Is it possible? What is yours? Is it possible? What I'm saying this is that you should check yourself and know your strength and know the power you have, because if you think you have it, you're a jinjim, he comes, he's still going to corner you. Because the devil does not respect anybody. He doesn't respect God. He tells you lies. He's a father of deception. He tells you something that will massage your feelings. So that when you begin to walk in it, you begin to fall. And you say, "Child, why did you do this again?" You see, they come back to you to attack you, right? It's just to prove, to make you not holding your God as a faithful God, right? Great is your mercies towards me. Your loving kindness I see. Your tender mercies I see. Day after day. Forever faithful, faithful towards me. Always providing for me. Great is your mercy towards me, day after day. Let's move on. Forever faithful towards me. Oh, you put it the song. Let's move on. Come on. I have no time. I told you, don't. All right. And he said to me, yeah, come on. Move. He said to me, okay. No. Okay, the devil took him into... All right. All right, leave it there. If I finish, you go. Then the devil took him into the holy city and placed him on a turret, pinnacle, gavel of the temple sanctuary. Go ahead, quick. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge over you, and they will bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against the stone. The report is given. Is it true? No.
It's a true gospel that he's quoting. It's a true gospel. It's a true gospel that the enemy is quoting. So what I'm trying to tell you is that the enemy knows more scripture than you. The enemy knows more scripture than you. And you are on the armor of God. No checking, no moving. Having done that to stand, you stand firm. Because the devil has no authority to witness your identity. Nobody, he can't come and witness your identity. Because if you allow him, he will put comma and a full stop somewhere. And your name will become full stop. And you cannot go any further. Praise the Lord. So he can ask Christ. Christ, you created everything. And God has packaged everything. In Colossians chapter 1, he said, in him all things consist. Him all things consist. He's the light of the world. You come again and say, oh, if you are this. So that's by the way. So get me Acts of Apostle chapter. I don't have time. I will jump. Give me Acts of Apostle chapter 19, verse 3 to 6. That's the important thing I want to say. I don't want to miss out. I want to dwell on the righteousness and grace. Oh, yeah, give me quick. Quick. Okay. You went to Matthew, Acts of Apostle. Acts of Apostle 19. 19:13 and 16. Then some of the traveling Jewish exorcists, men who adjure evil spirits, also undertook to call the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead. Those who had evil spirits saying, I solemnly implore and charge you by the Jesus whom Paul preached. Go ahead. Then the man in whom the evil spirits were leaped upon them, mastering two of them, and was so violent against them that they dashed out of their houses in fear, stripped naked and wounded. Who is pursuing them? The devil. They don't know Jesus. And they were coming to. Go there. Let's see what they asked them. This became known to all who live in Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks. And alarm and terror fell upon them. And the name of the Lord Jesus was exalted. You missed where I want to use. That's the seven sons of Sceva. Jesus I know. Paul I know. But who are you? Was it 15? All right, put 15. Okay. But one evil spirit retorted, Jesus I know, Paul I know about, but who are you? Who are you? So, don't go, when you don't put on the armor of God, you are on your own. Let me quickly run to the grace of God. The grace brings you salvation. Salvation is anybody who accepts Christ. If you accept Christ, you are born of the Spirit, right? You are born again. All things are passed away. You have become a new creation. How did you become a new creation? Because before you have this, you have your flesh, but now God has deposited the Spirit of His dear Son, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. You have the Spirit of God now. And this grace. Christ, grace is Christ in manifestation. God is sending His Son. Because by verdict of the law, you are already condemned. You are already condemned. And by the deed of the law, shall no man be justified before God. By the deed of the law, you can be justified before God. And the law can only be exposing you. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit fornication. That's what he'll be telling you every day. But Christ is the solution to what law cannot give you. Praise the Lord. So you depend on Christ. That's the grace. That's the grace. God wants to be in the right standing, because right from the plan of redemption, one man, because of the sin of one man, all we are made sinners. And because of one man, all we are brought to life. Christ said, I'm the life, I'm the way. I come to give you life. He comes to restore you. That's the purpose of the grace. And God said, this is a gift. You don't merit it. Unqualified. It's an unmerited privilege. Unqualified. Don't qualify it at all. You are supposed to die. And Obama comes up and says, yes, the court of law, in their adjudication, right? We have lawyers here. In their adjudication, right? Brady, you are with me, right? In their adjudication, they have passed a verdict that we will die. And Obama comes and says, Trump. And Donald Trump comes to you and says, my friend, you're supposed to die. You know that? But you're not going to die again. You're not going to die again. Did you commit those crimes? Yes. Were you set free by the law? No. But that's what they call clemency. Clemency. He granted you pardon. That's what God did on your behalf. And you come out here and say, oh, no. That grace you are talking, he's making people to commit sin. Huh? Oh, give me Jude verse 24. NLT. He said, look at here. Oh, no. Verse 3. Is it 3 and 4? Let me try 3 and 4. 4. No. I must write about this. Okay, give me 4. I say this because, 4. Listen carefully. I didn't write this, so you got to pay attention. I say this because some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches, saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral life. Are they still saying it? That the God grace, that the provision that God had made, allowing his son to die, is making you to commit sin. But he said, you see, I didn't finish it, but you see what I read. That is it to righteousness. The gift of righteousness is a gift. Don't think that your righteousness is your goodness. Don't think about it. God gave you this gift because of Christ. And the moment you receive it, you are going to reign. The day that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, they shall reign in life. If you are not receiving it, you are not reigning. If you go to, before I round up, if you go to Romans, give me Romans, I have to say this. Give me Romans chapter 10, verse 3. After this, I close. I have a lot to say, but let's take it like that. The time is up. Yeah, give me that. Romans chapter 10, verse 3. Quickly, unless you are giving me extra time. Listen to this. In righteousness, when they ask you whether you are righteous, say you are righteous. God is saying that, for they don't understand God's way of making people right with him. They don't understand. Refusing to accept God's way, God's provision, God's gift, that will make you to reign in life. They are refusing to accept it. They cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. Go down. 4. For God has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was not given. As a result, all who believe in him are made right.
Praise the Lord. I'm made right. If you believe in Christ, you are made right with God. That's the way God has provided for you. It's a gift. It's a gift. That's why it's a gift of righteousness. The moment you receive it, you begin to reign. Praise the Lord. Let us rise.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.